This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:45 a.m. Thursday, the 1st of December, and now we're taking a look at PAS. Now, this conservative Islamist party, which won the most seats in GE15, has gone on the offensive against the government of the day. Over the weekend, party president Tan Sri Abdul Hadi Awang penned a cryptic article on Haraka, the party's publication, about how a football referee provided extra time for the losing side after the match was over, allowing the losers to win by any means.
Netizens criticised his remarks that appeared to question the monarchy over its role in the formation of a new government. PAS then fired another salvo at the coalition government, alleging it was formed by misleading voters. Hadi also called DAP a parasite riding on the coalition government and has added that the party is Islamophobic for labelling PAS an Islamic extremist party. Why has PAS ramped up its offensive lately, and should Pakatan Harapan respond, since communication and public perception is one of the linchpins of a successful government?
For some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Adib Zarkalpi, Director of Bauer Group Asia. Good morning, Adib. Always good to speak to you. Now, from what we gather, from what we read in the press and what's available on social media, it appears that some members of PAS have been on an attack against the newly formed Anwar Ibrahim government, targeting him personally and also DA. Is this a fair assessment, and what's driving these actions?
Hi, morning. It's actually not a surprise, right? We've seen this before in 2018 when Pakatan Harapan won the federal government. I think one of the first actions of PAS, and back then was UMNO also in the opposition, was to, I think, try to delegitimize the government in the eyes of the Malay Muslim community. So, you know, in doing so, DAP, being the Chinese dominated party, becomes an easy target. So, yeah, so that's what we are seeing in the last 1 week. And basically, what PAS and I know to a certain extent Bersatu try to do is to remain relevant, to be seen as the representative of the Malay Muslim community.
And Adib, from a communications perspective, how should the government respond? What are the possible consequences if these false narratives are not addressed?
It's easier said than done, of course. But the basics, I guess, are to basically control the narrative, stay ahead of the curve, and not appear to be defensive all the time. You know? There's probably no need to respond specifically to every allegation every time, because it just distract the government from governing. And of course, some false narratives, some accusations have to be dealt with by the relevant law and enforcement agencies. But in the long term, I think some may require political solutions. You know, the government at the end has to appear representative, you know, seen to be legitimate by the Malay Muslim community, which is, I think, PAS's main target. And yeah, so it's important to maintain the appearance that and seen to be representative of the Malay Muslim community.
Okay, but at the same time, Pakatan Harapan has also come under fire, in particular from the Lawyers of Liberty, which issued statements saying that you shouldn't use police to investigate people who make slanderous or outrageous claims, especially against the Prime Minister. So how should the new government counter these false narratives, but yet maintain its reformist agenda?
Well, I think firstly, government can't really stop the law from taking its course, right?
Yes.
If there are criminal elements, then the relevant enforcement agencies, such as the police, should respond appropriately. On how to counter, I mean, I don't have the answer or the political solution. I think perhaps one obvious solution is to strengthen the center of Malaysian politics. You know, Pakatan Harapan working with BN and UMNO is actually, I think, one step in the right direction. The next step is perhaps to make sure this cooperation translates into, you know, properly rebuild the center, if you like. You know, when the center is strong, all parties, whether they are in the opposition or in government, will flock to the center. You know, because I think when the center holds, being too extreme would be unpopular to the general public.
And Adib, looking back at the past three general elections, PAS has never won more than 23 seats. So what was different about G15? Was it down to the effective campaigning by PN, or has the ground really shifted and a majority of Malays in Malaysia are for PAS's brand of conservative Islam?
Well, PAS, firstly, I think obviously benefited from the Perikatan Nasional brand, from their partnership with Bersatu in the West Coast. PAS also has existing infrastructure or machinery to recruit university students and youth, you know, basically the new voters. I think, but PAS still, I think, having problems penetrating or growing in new states, you know, like in certain states, like in Johor. So it's not clear whether it's PAS's ideology that is attractive to this, to the Malay Muslim voters. But what is clear is that PN and PAS have successfully, I think, positioned themselves as a credible alternative, especially for the opposition-inclined Malay voters.
So would it be fair to say that they have presented themselves as a viable alternative against BN and they won so many seats because it was a protest vote against that party, against UMNO in particular?
Yeah, see, I mean, that's one way to look at it. It was probably a vote against UMNO, against BN. So I guess those who are not comfortable with BN and UMNO, but at the same time, not ready to vote Pakatan Harapan, probably voted for Perikatan Nasional.
Okay. I have a question about Amanah, though. Do you think Amanah is a credible counter counter towards PAS then? It only won, I believe, 8 seats in this general elections.
Yeah, I think Amanah was formed specifically for this, right, to counter the more extreme or conservative section of PAS, and also to be the Malay partner in Pakatan Harapan. But unfortunately, I think the party has not, grown big enough to counter PAS. So I think Pakatan Harapan only has UMNO to play the role of countering PAS ideology, PAS's campaign. And also perhaps the Prime Minister himself, Anwar Ibrahim, who is known to be formerly an Islamic youth leader, and also a Malay language activist in his youth. So I guess those are the two that can help Pakatan Harapan.
So let's dig a little bit deeper. Why do you think Amanah has failed?
I think there are many reasons. I guess when Amanah was formed, it's perhaps only the senior leaders from PAS, the more moderate senior leaders that left the party and formed Amanah, but not the machinery, not the infrastructure, or even the practice of recruiting young members. As I said earlier, PAS has very well-oiled machinery in recruiting university students and youth into the party. I guess the machinery did not join Amanah. Only those senior leaders that form Amanah.
And lastly, Adib, what's the trajectory for PAS moving forward then? Do you think they will expand on their hardline stance, and how will this impact their relationship with Bersatu within PN?
Well, PAS in the opposition, even in 2018, it's known to take a similar position, but they behaved relatively well when they were in the government for 2 years. So I think as long as PAS is in the opposition, you can expect them to continue playing the same game, and perhaps they become moderate if ever they're back in the government. But in doing so, in riling up the Malay Muslim community, they are actually pushing our politics further to the right, which is not encouraging.
All right, thank you for your time. That was Adib Zarkapi, director at Bauer Group Asia, giving us his views on the recent attacks by PAS towards the newly formed government, and also directed at DAP and personally against Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim. So I think what's interesting is he's basically saying, you know, you need to pick and choose the battles that you want to fight with, not the entire, every single allegation needs to be counted. But what's more important is to have a communication strategy, right, where you are really in the center and you're talking about issues that do matter. And I think that's so true, because otherwise, what is the government stand in all this? Are we going to really just keep going lower and lower? And I'm not sure even using the police is the right solution, because in the past, when Pakatan Harapan was in opposition, they didn't like it when the police was used against them, right? So we shouldn't use police for endeavors like this. If really there is these statements that are blatant lies, then just sue them for defamation.
Yeah, I think there was an article in the media yesterday which also said that past President Adi Hawang, he insisted his party is not racist and is more than ready to work with parties dominated by non-Malays if it had instead formed the government. He was referring to BN components MCA and MIC, which have been willing to back the PN government by signing SDs. But he said that DAP didn't sign the SDs. He really has a beef with DAP.
He does. Up next, of course, the Breakfast Grill after the 8 a.m. news bulletin, where Chong Jensen speaks to Professor Mushtaq Al-Attabi, Provost and CEO of Heriot Watt University of Malaysia. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.